This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I'm a workaholic.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I stay busy. Money on my mind. Okay? So you know what I'm doing on a Sunday night while watching the game? By the way, Heat Nation, Heat in 5. If you're from Denver, stop listening to the podcast. It's Heat Nation. After the Heat win, we could be friends again. Sunday night, me and my sister go to a lounge. We're on our laptops. Okay, we're working. We got money to make. I'm just optimizing my LinkedIn. she's just helping me optimize my LinkedIn. That's all. So we go to this lounge on Sunday night. Wi-Fi is not working. They have a guest Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi is not working. Can you believe it? What's the point of being open? Don't you hate that? Mm-hmm. Like, I hate going somewhere with their Wi-Fi. Hello?
You like, had imagine going to like a library and the Wi-Fi just doesn't work. Like, what do you do there?
Literally had one job. Anyways, they had a private Wi-Fi connection, right? And you know, like I'm a high quality man, so like I think in certain spaces I deserve the private Wi-Fi. Would right. you agree?
I don't know.
Right.
About that.
So in this place, I'm a regular. Okay. In this spot, Orlando, Florida, Mosh, Orlando, I'm a regular. Okay. They know me. I asked them for their private Wi-Fi, and they say no. And I
feel like
sad.
This is a common thing where you just get rejected at places.
Yeah. Yeah. But hold on. This is like the first, like, you know, like the first mountain of the story. Okay.
Oh, wow.
This is act two. I returned the next day as of yesterday. Me and my sister got money to make. I got a LinkedIn to optimize.
Right.
I'm hoping that this night the Wi-Fi is working. I'm hoping we go. To our surprise, boom, Wi-Fi is not working. Now what? Now what do I do? Except for this day, my friend is working. He's not my friend. He's like my, like, it's like, you know how you have like professional relationships on LinkedIn?
Right.
But like, you're like, yeah, like I'll connect with you. Like maybe I could benefit from you one day. I have one of these that works at this lounge, right? His name is Stan. Shout out to Stan. He's Uzbeki. Thick accent. He's my guy. I call over Stan. I'm like, Stan, your guest Wi-Fi is not working. Like, what can we do here? Can we work something out? I'm right. like, and he's like, what do you want? And I was like, please, can I have your private Wi-Fi? And he said, sorry, man, can't give that to you. I'm like, Stan, listen, like, I have a LinkedIn to optimize. What can we do here? What can we do? Right. I was like, why can I not have the private Wi-Fi? I'm making a scene. I don't care. Why can I not have the private Wi-Fi? He says, oh, the owner says not to share the password. I'm like, Stan, come here. I show him on the laptop. There's a mark that you could press that says, don't remember password, right? So when like you only put it one time, it doesn't save on your laptop. And I'm like, Stan, look here. Just put it in one time. I just need it tonight. Okay, I'm not going to remember this password. I'm not going to look at your fingers seeing what you're typing. I'm not going to tell the owner that you give it to me. Just put it in. And after some back and forth, guess what happened?
Stan put in the Wi-Fi.
You could probably finish this story for me. So right. What's the moral of the story?
There's really no moral of the story, but I'm just glad you had an happy ending, because usually you get like rejected and then you leave the premises like pretty sad for most establishments. But you know, this one's a happy ending, you know?
So more of the story. Don't back down. Okay. Right. keep the money on your mind.
Don't lose motivation.
Right. Because, you know, there's this Cha guy in Jackson Heights. He yells at me every time I try. Like, look, quick side story. I get Cha from this one spot. I have sensitive hands.
We're 4 minutes in.
Quick, all right. You know what? Story for next episode. Stay tuned.
Anyways, welcome back to our podcast called Difficulties, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am Mahua.
And my name is Mosh Noon.
So before we get started, obviously, leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or whatever platform you listen on. We'll give you half a second right now. And then now that you're done with that, you can actually follow us on Instagram and TikTok, which is at Difficult Dish and at Difficult Dish Podcast, because we've been popping off there as we should. And if you're not supporting us, you know, if you're not supporting us from day one, then what's the use? And then how are you going to know the updates for the 100th episode? Fun. Event.
I didn't know she was going to say that.
Dropped the gem.
Listen, guys, this is episode 92 y'all listen to. We got eight more. That's 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So August, New York City.
Hey, secrets out.
I'll stop.
But anyway. So, you know, on our story, on our Instagram, we put out a little thing like, what are your experiences with body image, right? Because we had a whole episode on food culture in South Asian society. And in that episode, we talked briefly about how food obviously has an influence on our body and just all of the comments that we get on our body, even if you're little bit bigger, if you're a little bit skinnier, there are comments for everything, right? So we left a little open-ended discussion question on our story, and we got a lot of responses from y'all about just the experiences that you've been going through, and not even just about body image. A lot of you were talking about skin color, you know, a lot of you were talking about like hair, how hair plays a part, the way you dress, just the comments, like so many wide variety of comments on just different things related to the body, right? So in this episode specifically, we want to focus more on, you know, weight and body image and just like the toxic idea of body image in this society. And also, obviously, a lot of communities outside of just South Asian culture. Unfortunately, it's like this all across the world in a lot of cultures, you know, based on like beauty standards, just different cultures in general. But, you know, we got a lot to talk about, you know.
Unfortunately. For us South Asians, there's often just one specific particular way that you should look. And if you don't look like that, God forbid, you are not perfect. And even if you are quote unquote perfect, there's still like something.
Yeah.
There's still always going to be something, right? But tell me a little bit about what body image conversations you've had growing up. As a woman, you know, I'm here with my own experience, but I am well aware that the experiences of a woman growing up South Asian, Desi, y'all go through it.
That's a whole different font.
The left jab, the right jab,
from
the aunties and God knows who.
Yeah.
All right. So what is it like for you in your shoes?
So first off, I want to give a little disclaimer. I was never really overweight or bigger. So I didn't really get like fat shaming comments as much. So I know it's a lot harder for people that are bigger than me. I am on the skinnier side. I guess I'm on like the mid size. And so I've gotten comments on that, which is a whole different avenue. But, you know, both are traumatic. So I don't know why, but like something that really strikes me like in my memory is like when you go Eid shopping, you know, when you go to like all those brown stores and you're
right
putting on clothes and you're trying on things, I remember like never seeing a plus sized, you know, like brown clothes. So it just really makes you think, like, talk, especially growing up, and as I am right now, talk about it. When you're growing up in the 2000s, in the early 2000s, it must be so excluding for the people that are a little bit bigger, because they feel like they can't even celebrate Eid or Diwali or whatever holiday because there's no clothing for them. And if there is, it's like uglier, or it's like the leftover fabric that they just like put together.
Yeah, the leftovers. Yeah.
And it's just like really interesting, because I remember even a few years ago, I went Eid shopping and I was trying to find a specific style of clothing, right? And I showed them the style. And they were like, oh, this is usually for pregnant women and bigger women. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? And it wasn't even like that at all. So it's just really interesting how that just is like in my memory, you know. And something else on top of that, I feel like something else that I've heard a lot in Bangla, if you guys understand, is just like, oh, meta ikto muta or shemla, but like she's really
right
sweet. Like literally, that girl's yeah. that girl's a little fat and like a little dark, yeah. But like nice. You know, she's still nice. Like she's they okay. They have this like underlying tone where it's like, yeah, she might be ugly as shit and she might be fat, but that doesn't mean that her character is bad. Like that's literally just like the nice way of saying the biggest insult. Because why do you have to preface a compliment with like the worst insults that you can think of in their head? They think it's like the worst insults. They think that someone that's right. darker or a little bit heavier is like the worst thing in the world, and that's an insult. And so right. it's just like what was the point of that?
And it's like, and it's like literally sometimes they'll be their own mother.
Yeah, talking actually. About their
daughter, like, yeah, my daughter's, you know, blah blah blah, but she's nice. That's your daughter.
Right.
Please right. give her some love. And
actually, that's their love disguised, you know.
I guess.
And you know something else? It's like when you're shopping for clothing like that, and also when, you know, aunties or uncles or whoever, they see younger age girls or younger age women, and they are a little bit heavier, they're like, oh, she looks like a mohila already. Which means like, oh, she looks like a woman that's, you know, has kids already. Like, how is that?
Yeah.
And it's like, why do people feel so inclined to comment on how people look for things that are out of their control and just like compare them to a woman, which isn't even a bad thing. Yeah. Like, you're insulting both parties now, you know? It's just so yeah. weird.
I just think for so long, not even for like still ongoing in just like our part of the world, women are just put at like they're seen to pursue life in like one way. You grow up, once you enter your teens, you start helping around in the house and start cooking and cleaning, and if your family doesn't have money, they send you off to get married. And then when you're married and super young, you have like one job, and it's just to be a housewife. And women are just given this very linear path in life, to where any sort of like objection that occurs in their life, not even occurs, just like if they are not seen as like the perfect daughter, there are just like infinite comments that are going to be made upon her.
Yeah,
it's sad, because like you know, as a man, like I hear my own thing, but I know, especially growing up with a sister, the sheer amount of just comments and stuff that is always going to be thrown their way by like anybody, by like your own family, by your non-family, by your 16th cousin, by your own grandmother, and everybody in between. It's like, and they always all want to comment about the way that you look.
There's so much scrutiny for specifically South Asian women, and it's under the guise of religion. Like, oh, we want you to cover up, or we're protecting you because this is what it's like in Islam or religion. But really, it's under culture. Like, I remember growing up, I am, you know, for the most part, very petite, and I'm smaller, I'm shorter, but I have a bigger chest, and I was always sexualized for that growing up, because it's like I grew up with that. Like, obviously I didn't ask for that. And because I had that, I couldn't wear certain clothing that is normal on most people, because it would look different on me. And I was always told to like cover up. And that wasn't because of culture, you know, in their eyes. I mean, that wasn't for religion. In their eyes, they were like, oh, we're doing this because you have to be modest and you have to cover up for religion. But really, it's because they don't trust their own men. They don't trust the, right. the people in their family. And so they want me right. to be covered or be modest and hide something that I can't control, when they should be policing the men, you know?
It's very true.
Yeah, I'm always told to, you know, wear the scarf, wear something loose. But when you wear something too loose, then it's your man.
No in between.
You're borderline man. Yeah. You can't wear anything too loose, because then you're homeless or you're a man. Then if you wear something too tight, you're going clubbing.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know, from a male perspective, what has it been like for you regarding body image and weight and things like that? Because I know right now you're on your losing weight grind.
Trying.
Yeah,
all this goddamn traveling me. Yo, whenever I go somewhere, I like literally forget about my whole diet, and I'll just eat.
He blames it on traveling, but really it's not. Because it is. Let me tell you guys. So he eats clean like when he's home, right? But when we went to Atlanta, he was like, yeah, I'm not going to eat bad food. Like, I'm just going to try to eat clean. Like, you guys are always forcing me and spoon feeding me. So he was like blaming it on us, right? But then once we got there, he was ordering chicken wings every single day. Like, one day he was like about to start crying because the chicken wing place was closed.
That's not true.
You ordered literally like the heaviest, friest food multiple times a day.
What are you talking? All right, relax. Now you're taking overboard. I did not do that. I got some chicken wings. They weren't even fried. They're just baked chicken wings. That's, relax, okay? Look. I'm man enough to say that I can't control myself.
Okay? Oh, wow.
I can't. I love food, okay? And what I say about, like, oh, like, it happens when I travel or when I'm with people. I'm being honest. It's like, when I'm by myself, I can contain myself. But when I'm around other people that are also not eating great, listen, I'm more inclined to not eat great. Okay, I have trouble containing myself when it comes to food. I love me some nice chicken wings. Okay, I love me some nice, you know, mac and cheese. Okay, I love me some nice pasta. Okay,
right.
All right. Anyways, so I think it's kind of like funny, just like weight and body image growing up as a guy, because like, every family is going to be different. I mean, first off, all of our mothers like overfeed us as children. When we're like a super fat baby, it's seen as healthy. Like, yeah, we could have comments about, but at the end of the day, I want a fat baby. So like, whatever.
All that.
But it's like, you know, when they get into like, my mom has made this reoccurring comment my whole life where like, she's like, oh, like you're in your growing years, you have to eat more. But it's like, my mom said this when I was 5. When I was 10, when I was 15, 20, and now 24, my mom's still saying it. I'm like, Mom, at one point do I like not eat like 10,000 calories a day? Is mm-hmm. it? She's like, oh, when you stop growing. I was like, Mom, like, when do I stop growing? And so I don't know. Like, I understand it's in our culture to just like overfeed and to just like not really put physical health at the top priority. Like, there are other priorities that our families are always going to list as number one. Before it's like going to the gym, it's like, you know, I know so many guys, especially like, I'm thinking about this one guy that I went to high school with. He was Bengali and he was super smart, you know, perfect grades, went to like a super good school, but his parents were like, so like probably the strictest parents I knew. And he had a cousin who was a girl and her parents were just as strict, super duper strict. He was never allowed outside, never like hung out in the neighborhood. Never went out on the weekends, so we never went to the gym. He never played basketball outside, never did anything. And he ended up really overweight. And I remember this one time he came back for college and I hung out with him maybe like right before COVID. And like, he was telling me just like how devastated and insecure he's been his entire life about like his weight. And I, at the time, I would make like, not snarky comments, but I'll be like, yo, like, why, like, what's stopping you from like trying to like improve yourself? And he's like, he was just like, yo, like, when like, he's like traumatized of trying to like pursue physical health, because every time he wanted to growing up, he would just get like scolded from his parents saying that like, oh, that, like, that's not important. Oh, just like school, blah, 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 study, blah, blah. You know, so I think when it comes to guys, of course, the experience is always going to be different from women, but I know a lot of guys that are insecure about their weight. But you know, no guy's ever going to say that. No guy, and it's only to like their closest friend they'll like say that. You know, a lot of guys are like scared to go to the gym because they don't want to face those fears. You know, a lot of guys don't know how to maneuver through like bad eating habits or like just like poor life decisions. You know, it's hard for a lot of us to not only like learn how to move through all of this, but to just have like the power, just like the strength to like go to the gym. And I know it sounds silly, but like it's tough to face the fact that you are not happy with yourself and you're mm-hmm. not comfortable with yourself. You know, like growing up, I haven't always been comfortable with my weight, but I've never like cried about it. I was just always like, okay, like I'm not super confident, but I'm also like not gonna just let myself like lose myself. So I always force myself to get some physical activity. So it's always been easier for me to just like be up and active. And like, I love running. I love basketball. I enjoy going to the gym. But I know it's really, really tough for a lot of guys to even begin that conversation with themselves, to look in the mirror and say, like, just be vulnerable enough with yourself to say that you've let yourself go and you need to work on this one thing just to better yourself, you know. So I think a lot of guys deep down do struggle with body image, you know. A lot, and a lot of time it's going to be the guys that are super duper cocky and super annoying,
yeah,
and are you know, just mad annoying online a lot of the time, you know. And we have this conversation all the time where, like, where you get like a hate comment on like a TikTok or just like a stupid comment. Like, a lot of these people are just like struggling with themselves. And I have the benefit of having healthier outlets for a lot of my like insecurities or, you know, troubling ideas, as do you. You know, you don't go around leaving hate comments. At least I don't know if you do. You ever left a hate comment?
Maybe when I was like 8.
14? Like, what'd you say?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Got a big head. Yeah. Anyway. But you know, like, a lot of time, it's not an excuse for the behavior a lot of men will portray, but a lot of these men are really struggling, you know? So.
Yeah. I think that's interesting because, like, it makes me think about all of the uncles that are a little bit older now. And for the most part, I think there are obviously a lot of fit people in South Asian communities, but I think there are also a lot of uncles that are a little bit more overweight and they have like a gut, you know, and they have like that belly. And obviously there's a lot of reasons for this. First, it can be all of the undiagnosed health problems that we have that people just don't want to get help for. Yeah, it can also be about the food culture that we talked about in our last episode. We have such a heavy and rich food culture and that can, you know, make them like that. It can be also the lack of exercise. It can also be that a lot of them are working, sitting down, and they're not caring about, you know, like going outside for a walk or things like that.
True.
But also another thing that you mentioned is just like, it's hard for the men in South Asian culture to be vulnerable. It's hard for them to talk about that this is bothering them. So they kind of just like eat it away and just continue the cycle because they just don't know another way out. And a lot of them also are kind of enabled, you know, a lot of them depend on their wives to cook for them and they're not making their own healthy foods. They're not making, you know, their own.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Like solution to the problem. So it's just like so many different factors to this. And, you know, it's not something new. They're usually the ones that have to suck it up. And I wish there was more representation for that. And I'm glad that we are talking about it now.
And, you know, I don't think this is ever going to be something that's normalized for like our culture. With like Instagram and social media, we'll see like plus size models pop up that like get popular. And, you know, a lot of them are like POCs and just people of diverse cultures. And I cannot imagine the amount of bullshit that these people get from the people that look just like them. Because you know what's crazy? I don't think the white people are saying nothing to them. You know, like if you get a plus size, like South Asian model or just like public figure, white people are going to be supportive ones.
Yeah. You know? It's our own people.
It's literally going to be the people that are looking. So, you know, we criticize. Not criticize, but like we comment on like the actions of white people a lot of the time, but like a lot of time it'd be your own that you know, what, for whatever reason it is, what, because you're jealous that, you know, they're getting a viral TikTok and you didn't, or like they're getting an opportunity that you didn't, whatever the reason is that like you feel the need, not like our listeners, but like someone feels the need to just like have to bring someone down just because of like, and like just not taking into account the fact of like how much power it must have took for that person to even post it, knowing that they're going to get some bullshit, you know? So
our own people are so supportive of one another, but there's also a group of people that hate on their own culture the most, you know, like they can't stand to see them win, which is so wild that, you know, there's like such a stark difference. But, you know, something else on top of the experiences that I've had, I talked about this in the food culture episode, but, you know, a lot of our moms, when they were pregnant, they didn't really gain weight. And that was kind of like a flex. You know, they tell their kids later on, like, yeah, I only gained negative pounds when I was pregnant with you. And, you know, and they still fit into their clothing from 30 years ago, for the most part. If they don't, it's a big problem. So my mom barely gained weight when she was pregnant with both me and my brother, right? And with that expectation, like, if you guys watch the show This Is Us, I love that show. When you have, like, a mother and daughter relationship, for example, if the mother grew up and she was very skinny for the most part, and the daughter grew up and she wasn't, you know, and the daughter sees that the mom is getting so much good treatment, and she gets pretty privilege and all these things, you start to resent your mother for, you know, for how she is and how skinny she is, even though it's not her fault, and just, you know, growing up bigger. And I can't really understand that, because I didn't go through it personally, but it must be so hard for the daughters that grow up with thinner moms, and they just constantly feel compared to, their mom is constantly like just hitting them with jabs and just making them feel little for things that they can't control. And it just must be so hard to live in a family like that.
What is it with, like, brown moms that just don't believe that sometimes their daughter is just, like, was born away? Like, I feel like every brown mom thinks that you can be, like, edited and, like, photoshopped into a very specific way. But I feel like none of them ever, like, accept the fact that, like, oh, this is just my daughter and this is, like, how she was born.
Yeah, they don't want to take accountability, considering they're the ones giving them the food. Well, and, like, is there her genetics for the daughter? Like, you know?
Shout out to the women, the men too, but, like, shout out to the women that struggle with body dysmorphia and body image and are, like, actively always trying to, like, work on themselves and become the most comfortable, confident version of yourself. Because I think, I don't know if this is going to come off wrong, I know I said this before, but a lot of time, some people are born a little bit more lucky in that they don't have to go to the gym. They don't have to really watch what they eat.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, a lot of us are a little bit unluckier. I think I'm a little bit on the unluckier side. Whereas if I eat Popeyes for a week, you will notice. Like, you will notice. And I have to actively go to the gym. I have to actively keep myself active and, like, try to get, like, steps in and just, like, make sure I'm going outside and just, like, doing something, because I know what would happen to myself if I stopped doing that. You know, I just wanted to give a special shout out to the people that are conscious of that, that love food, but you know that you can't let yourself go, that hate going to the gym, but you know that you gotta go. Like, it shows a lot of strength, and it shows a lot of grit.
This is a disclaimer. Actually, no, this is a PSA for anyone listening. So, you know, when we hear comments like this, a lot of the time we internalize it, and then our way, like what you said about the hate comment before, a lot of people, like, lash out onto random people and they put their insecurities onto random people, right? So if you constantly hear comments about your weight, about your color, the color of your skin, or whatever it is, you start manifesting that, and then you start telling other people the same thing, and you start insulting people on the same thing. I think it's really up to us to unlearn that mindset and not just inflict our pain onto other people, because there are so many people that are like, oh my God, I am not going to be like the last generation. I'm not going to be like the aunties. I'm not going to be like my mom. And then they end up worse than them.
But then you drop in hate comments.
Yeah, you're dropping the hate comments.
Get off TikTok.
You're the one in a little click looking at your girls looking behind you, and you're like, oh my God, look at what she's wearing. Look how fat she is, blah, blah, blah. And I know a lot of people that are like that. And it's not even
drop,
just like
name
that.
Drop them. What's their name?
It's not even just like that in South Asian culture. It's in a lot of different communities. But again, if we are going to be the change in the next generation, we can't just unknowingly just do the same thing as the last one, because we never got the help ourselves, or we just never confronted our own insecurities ourselves. You know, we can't do that. So honestly, like, if you're saying, I don't want to be like the last generation, you know, maybe you are. Maybe you are exactly like them, because...
What's changed?
Yeah, what Nothing. Exactly changed? Tell me.
Except last generation, they're talking to, you know, on ASM. No, what is it?
What's ASM?
What's the messaging thing? AIM?
AIM? But they weren't talking... Who's talking on AIM? Your parents stalked on AIM?
Never.
MSN? Is it M?
Is that MMS? Is MSN one?
No.
Is that not just Microsoft? Well, either way.
They talk through dial-up.
They talk through goddamn payphones.
Payphones and dial-ups.
Dial-up. No more hate. Listen, no more hate comments, okay? Look, if you're listening, you're leaving a little hate comment. Please.
It's always the it's always the fake profiles.
Yeah, I've been like I said earlier, I had one almond biscuit. I really wanted two. I was feeling the second one, I'll be honest. Yeah. I really was. I didn't go for it. Because it's like 180 calories. You know what I could do for 180 calories? That's like a nice little like ice cream bar at night. So it's like, you know, like you win some, you lose some, right? So like, you know, shout out to...
We're not keeping any of that in.
Okay. Anyways, as you guys know, towards the end of our episodes, we ask you guys your thoughts and feelings and opinions on our upcoming topic on our episode that we talk about right now on our Instagram at
Difficult Dish.
And we're going to go through them right now.
So someone said, I was skinny and was forced to eat. And as rebellion, I didn't eat. And now I have difficulty eating what fills me.
Oh, my God.
This is so crazy because... Think about how South Asian people, their food, the food is the love language. So right. In protest, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to make you happy. And so I'm not going to eat because I would do the same thing. When I was mad at my parents, not only would they give me the silent treatment, I'd also give them silent treatment. And then I wouldn't eat their food. And so now right. It's very hard for me to eat at certain times because I still think about that.
It's crazy how that works.
So you know how people have like binge eating when they're going through something? And they just eat a lot. And then there's like the other population of people who just have trouble eating when they're going through something because they think of things like this. So someone said, when I found out how generational famines affected our diet, I felt more forgiving.
Yo, I feel like there's so much we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, what's that?
You know, sometimes we don't even consider the fact that maybe our parents feed us a lot because they weren't fed a lot.
Oh, wow.
You know? Maybe back at home the resources were tight. You know, both of my parents are from villages. They can't go to Trader Joe's. I can go to Publix, get a chicken tender sub. They gotta go swimming in the river and catch a fish by their bare hands. That's one fish. Every time we go to the store, she's like, you know, I used to catch fish. Been saying this for 25 years.
So someone said, being plus sized my whole life, I never felt pretty enough in the eyes of Desi people. It's always, she's cute, but she would look better if she looked smaller. Shopping for Desi clothes was traumatizing. Still is, but at least Facebook aunties sell bigger sizes than storefronts, and they're nicer.
Damn.
God bless those Facebook lives. Like, my mom goes on those Facebook lives so religiously, and it's just these aunties just, like, putting up their clothes on Facebook Live. Just like complimenting the shit out of it, pretending like, oh, if you don't buy it, I'll buy it myself, even though she owns it already. And I feel like these lives have been helping our generation of people so much.
Shout out to Facebook.
Yeah.
Mr. Zuck.
Mr. Zuck.
Add difficulties.
Ooh, this is a hard one. So someone said, voices of aunties have become my self inner critical voice, trying to unlearn it now. Aunties have said I'm fat and have gray hairs showing up. It's gray so hair. Crazy because, like...
Why do they talk so much?
Can you imagine looking at yourself in the mirror and, like, it's not even your inner voice talking anymore, insulting you? It's just, like, a random auntie's voice and you just hear their words ringing in your head. That's so traumatizing.
It's the fact that it'll literally be, like, your mom's friends, cousins, wives, daughters, friends.
Right.
Like, someone from across the world and, like... Like, why do they feel the need to talk, man?
Petition for family members.
Petition on your family.
Petition for family members to stop commenting on a woman's appearance right upon meeting them, or just stop in general. Yeah. Because, like, there's more to a person. It's sickening.
Well, honestly, can't relate, you know, because when I walk into the room, all the aunties just call me handsome.
All right. Anyway. So someone said, Indian uncles have fat shamed me, a grown man, on my birthday. I didn't even eat cake that day. I feel like these people are so, like, conditioned to insults. Like, their family members did the same thing growing up. Their ancestors did the same thing. Their grandpas of grandpas did the same thing. They're so used to these backhanded compliments and, like, just insults that they say it so like casually and just on the reg to you, expecting you to just get over it too and just like ha ha ha. But really their words are so impactful and so negative, they don't even realize how hurtful their words are and their comments are. Because like imagine just like changing the whole trajectory of someone's life and how they view themselves because of just like casual comments that you think are casual that you say on the everyday, and then you get confused on why they don't want to live with you anymore or why, you know, they
that's the part
why they don't want to like associate. Yeah, what did I do? I just love like you so much. I'm just saying this to make you better. How how is you calling me fat every day gonna make me feel better?
No, I say it lovingly.
I say it lovingly.
You know, I'm trying to help you.
I'm your mom.
I'm your mom, okay? Listen to me, okay?
I'm your mom, so that means I can insult you every day. Yeah. I gave birth to you. This is all you can do for me now.
My daughter, I know that I overfeed you, but you are fat, and it's not my fault, okay? It's not my fault, okay? It's your fault.
I know that. I'm also fat. You're but like, you cannot like, be mom. No, literally, they're the problem. Like, they're fat themselves, and they're coming at their daughter like, big fat.
I know you're fat because of me, but you're fat not because of me. It's your fault.
Okay. These people are sick. Yes. All right.
Shout out to the aunties.
Anyway, as you guys know, we end off our episodes with our 10-second advice.
10-second advice.
We hope you like the little. We hope you like the little jokey of us crying and laughing through our trauma. Anyway, right. You guys know that you have to comment an emoji on our post every single week, and you only get it if you listen all the way to the part where we talk about the emoji.
Right now. So right now.
What emoji should they comment?
We should make it like a salad.
Yeah.
You know, shout out healthy eating.
Yeah, healthy
all eating. All the times my mom told me to eat salads.
Yeah.
Go drop some salads on our Friday post, please. Yes,
please.
Anyways, do you have 10-second advice?
No, do you?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
On the same topic, I just wanted it to be known that dieting can be very fun.
Yeah.
It does not have to be torturous, okay? It is ingrained in everybody's head that dieting is terrible, dieting sucks, dieting is painful, and it takes too long. The once you get in the groove, I promise you, dieting can be very fun. I'm not talking about, you know, only eating, you know, not eating this or that. Just like being more conscious in general about just what you're eating. It can be very fun. You will feel better knowing what you are putting in your body. Do not see it as a chore. You know, put it into your daily schedule, and I promise you will thank yourself later.
Yeah. So mine is, you know, invest in a good pillow. So, you know, something about me is that I have a lot of neck pain, right? I can't sleep well because the pillow that I use is from 2001, right? Mm. Because why else would I need a new one? I have an old one from 20 years ago.
Well, it's been, right, yeah.
But, you know, now I have neck pain. I can't move my neck. So, you know, finally the other day I got convinced to buy one of those, like, neck, like, you know, those mattress, like, shifting pillows for your head. So,
do you know what you bought?
I bought it. It came in today.
Oh, it came in?
It came in. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. So now I got a good pillow. Invest in a good pillow. Just because you have something, and just because you don't want to waste money, just because you had it from 30 years ago, doesn't mean you can't get a new one, because it might be time for an upgrade.
Right.
It might be time.
All right. My laptop's about to die, so we're ending this. Thank you guys for listening to our podcast. Rate us, review us, follow us. We got exciting things coming in the next coming weeks from one of these two co-hosts, and it's not me.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
It's not me.
Wow.
The other co-host on this podcast has some exciting stuff coming up.
It's true.
Stay tuned.
Labyrinthapp.com if you don't know. All right. We love you, and Allah Hafiz.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.